Certainly is good to see everyone today. I know that it was maybe a treacherous trek for some of us, but hopefully we will all make it home safely. Since the warmer weather's going to be here later this afternoon, we might as well just go ahead and stay for a while, don't you think? I mean, there's plenty of subjects we could cover today. Hopefully the warm weather will kick in sooner than later, and the roads will be clear and good. Hope that you pick up a devotional on your way out today. We're going to be changing subjects. We have been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and we finished that this week. And so we're going to take a break from the New Testament this week. We're going to look at two stories from the Old Testament and some lessons we can learn from those stories. So I hope that you grab a sheet on your way out this morning. Go ahead and open your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2 will be our first scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, as we finished off this week in Matthew 7 with our devotionals, it was apparent that Jesus had a subject he wanted to cover to me. In Jesus' time, the subject of obedience is very different than in our day and time. In Jesus' time, the subject of obedience became important to being obedient to the man-made traditions, the man-made laws. Washing your hands and things of that nature that the Pharisees stressed, and things that their traditions that they had come up with, they expected strict, 100% complete obedience to those things. And so Jesus in Matthew 7 deals with who we really ought to be obedient to. If we expect the things that God promises, chapter 7 deals with where we ought to direct our obedience. But he contrasts that today with the religious culture of our time. And it's interesting to look out and to see how things have changed. In Jesus' time, they were asking you to be strictly obedient to their traditions. In our day and time, the religious majority seems to downplay the significance of obedience at all. They seem to suggest that obedience is not what Jesus is looking for. That faith more than anything else is all that Jesus is really concerned about. Just believe. Just have faith, because obedience is merely works. And if we could work our way into heaven, then why would we need God to start with? And so that line of thought is out there that obedience is a secondary characteristic when it comes to following God. But as we examine Matthew 7, I think we see that's not exactly what Jesus said at all. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. And as we look at his words, I think it will be important. The downplay of obedience comes from Ephesians chapter 2. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, many people stake their religious lives on two verses. On these two verses, specifically. Because it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." And so we have built an idea around this, that since we are saved by the grace of God through our belief, through our faith, then what we do is not as important as what we believe. The actions that we take, the life that we live, even whether we obey the commandments of the Lord, are not as important as simply believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's all that religion really is all about. Based on what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, it is interesting that verse 10 of the very same chapter says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." It's kind of Paul suggesting that God expects us to be obedient, that God expects us to do good things, that God expects our lives to reflect who we are. But if you just want to just take one example of what I'm talking about, just if you have time, research the idea of, do I have to be baptized in order to become a Christian? I Googled this the other day just to see what the answers were. And overwhelmingly, the answers were, no, you don't have to do what the Bible says. You just have to have faith. That it didn't matter what Paul said in Acts 2, because Paul said, you just got to have faith. And then the grace of God saves us. And all these other things are just ceremonies. They're just words. And that's what people believe. And there are a lot of people that buy into this idea that simply all we have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and everything else is taken care of. But that's not what Scripture teaches us, is it? Is that what Jesus says in Matthew 7? Before we look at the words of Jesus, I want you to look and contrast what that belief says against James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, is James contradicting Paul? Is James saying something different than what Paul said? Paul said we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Not as a result of works, but James says faith without those works is a useless faith. It's a dead faith. He goes on to talk about some illustrations here in James chapter 2. He mentions Abraham. Now, why do we talk about Abraham? We talk about Abraham because he is considered the father of faith. Because of what he was willing to do for God. But notice, we talk about Abraham not because he believed that that's what God wanted and had faith that God was there, but because he did what God said. Would we talk about Abraham if he did not move when God said move? Would we talk about Abraham if he didn't offer Isaac on the altar when God said offer Isaac on the altar? We talk about Abraham because he believed and he obeyed. He did what God said. He had faith in God, but that faith in God required him to do what God asked of him. Obedience was just as important as the belief. It also talks about Rahab who harbored those spies when they came in to see out the land. Would we talk about Rahab if she had given up the spies? It's what she did. Hebrews 11 talks about that faith hall of fame. People who are mentioned because of the great faith that they had. But why do we talk about them? We talk about them because of what they did. Their obedience. Was it great works that they did on their own that caused us to talk about them? No. They were doing what God asked of them. Why do we talk about Noah? Because he built the ark. Not because he had faith that an ark needed to be built, but because he did what God said. He was obedient. You think, well, maybe that's just a slippery slope and we're talking in just different terms. But when you say, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I'm saying, you're just saying that obedience is not as important as faith. Now that's kind of the religious world that we live in today. That's kind of the framework upon which people come to this Bible and say, this is what God wants. This is what Jesus is looking for. Just have faith. Just believe in Him and He will take care of everything. It's not as important to hear these words and to do these words as it is to believe in Him and have faith in Him. What did Jesus say? Let's go to Matthew 7 now and look at the words of Jesus. What did Jesus actually say on the subject of obedience? If you look at verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Notice when Jesus talks about heaven, when he talks about those who will enter the kingdom of heaven, what was his prerequisite there? What did he say? Those who do the will of my Father. Is that not obedience? Is that not obedience? Is that not doing what God asked us to do? Jesus says, and to me, one of the most sobering and terrifying things that Jesus ever said is found right here. This is kind of terrifying to think that there will be people that arrive on the day of judgment and they will stand before God in clear conscience, feeling very good about themselves, and say, "Lord, Lord," and he will say, "I don't know you. I don't know who you are. But look at all the things we did. Look at all these works we did in your name. Look at all these mighty things we did." And Jesus will say, "I don't know you." And what's the distinguish? What's the difference? Because they didn't do the will of the Father. I can do all kinds of things in the name of God, but if it's not what he asked me to do, Jesus says it's pointless. If we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, how can we be sure? Obedience. Being obedient to what God has asked of us. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 24. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Jesus talks about making sure, making absolutely sure that our foundation, the things that we build our life upon, is strong, it's sound, it's sure. And he talks about what it is that we must do in order to ensure that that foundation is strong. And what does he say? Everyone who hears these words, and what? Does them. What is that? That's both faith and obedience, isn't it? If we hear what God says and we do it, what does that prove? What does that show? It shows that we believe in what God asked of us, that we believe in him, that we believe he is who he says he is, and we will get what he promises if we do what he says. But if I go to Acts 2:38 and I say, "I know what Peter said, I know what his response to the people of 'what shall we do,' but that's not what you have to do." If I go there and I say, "Baptism for the forgiveness, the remission of my sins, is not for the forgiveness or the remission of my sins, but it's an outward sign that my sins are already forgiven," what am I telling Peter? I don't have to do what you say. I don't have to do what the Bible says. I don't have to do these things because they're simply works. They're simply ceremonies that show that I'm already yours. But yet every time we read a conversion in the book of Acts, what do we see? We see faith. We see repentance. We see conversion. And we see obedience to the call that Jesus had. What was Jesus' words before he left? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them." What did Peter say baptism was all about? The forgiveness of my sins. If I want my sins forgiven, if I have faith that he can forgive my sins, then what should I do? I should do what he says. I should be obedient. I should obey him. And so for those who want to quabble and fight over is baptism necessary and say, no, it's only faith, because we're saved by grace through faith and we can't do anything, they're missing the point about faith. If I believe Jesus died for my sins, if I believe he came to save me, then shouldn't I do what he asked me to do? Shouldn't I want to do what he asked me to do? And then to hear his words, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must do the will of my Father. As we look at the rest of chapter 7, isn't obedience implied in a lot of these things? The first thing you talk about in Matthew chapter 7 is judgment. Don't judge me. Don't judge other people. We know some judgment is necessary. Some judgment is so important. We've got to know what's right and what's wrong. We've got to live our lives based on what's right and what's wrong. How do we know what's right? Through the Scriptures, right? How do we know that we're doing what's right? We have to make judgments based on, are we doing what the Bible says? That's obedience. The second thing he talks about is ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. When we come to God in prayer, we come seeking his help. We come seeking him to help us with our lives. Well, James 5 and verse 16 says that the effective prayer of a righteous person accomplishes great things. What kind of person? What kind of prayer? The prayer of what? A righteous person. That would be an obedient person. That's someone who's obeying what God has called us to be and to do and to follow. Then he talks about the golden rule. How do we know how to live? How do we know how to treat other people? We got to go to his word, don't we? This is what he wants. This is what he expects of us. And this is how he expects us to treat other people. And then he talks about a tree and its fruit. How do we know that we're bearing good fruit? How do we know that we're being who we ought to be? We've got to compare it to what his scriptures say. All of that stresses the importance of hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. You know, whether it's at work or whether it's at home or whether it's at school, we can say a lot of things. And you can hear a lot of things. Jonathan, will you take out the trash? He can hear me say, take out the trash. But when's he in good state with me? When the trash is taken out, right? He can have faith that that's what I wanted. He can think, I heard him. That's what I want him. That's what he wants me to do. I get all that. But if he doesn't do it, what happens? He's in trouble. Why? Because he didn't do it. I can have all the faith in the world, but if I don't do what I'm asked to do, that faith is meaningless. James, in his discussion on it, said, even the demons believe and shudder. If you notice in the life of Jesus, many times he will be recognized by those demons. They will call him by name. They know who he is. They know what he's about, but they don't obey him. They have faith that he is the Son of God. But do any of us really believe they'll be saved? It's those who do. It's those who obey. Is it meritorious works on our behalf that make us right in the sight of God? No, it's not. Because we're simply doing what He's asked us to do. It wasn't even a great thing we thought up, was it? We're obedient. And this one thing stands out to me as you read Matthew 7 and as Jesus brings the Sermon on the Mount to the close. He's encouraging the people of His time, don't listen to those Pharisees and scribes. Don't you listen to them about obeying them. You obey God. That's who God's going to look for. That's who will be acceptable in the kingdom. Not because you washed your hands before you ate, but because you did what God said. Same holds true today. Who are we listening to? And it's obedience to God that makes the difference. Taking His word and obeying as He has laid it out. Those who do the will of my Father are those that will enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet. We want to encourage you to do so. I think it's evident as you look in Scripture that obedience is key. It's not faith alone. It's not one thing alone. It's a response. It's faith in God, yes. But that faith needs to be evident in our actions. What we do should reflect that faith. And so when God asks us to obey His gospel, that's exactly what we should do. You heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away. Maybe here this morning you've wandered away from Him and need to come back. Maybe you need to make a public confession and have us pray for you. Whatever your need may be today, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Who at the door is?